Ephesians chapter 1. If you remember, it's been a while because we had Baptist Women's Day and then we had Easter. And so we deviated those Sundays, and then now we're back to the book of Romans. And I was talking to a friend this week, and we were just talking about how with expositional preaching, which is preaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, that you don't miss any of the hard subjects that preachers are tend to do sometimes. And so we come back, if you remember, the title of our first message was The Anatomy of Sin. And so this will kind of be an ongoing thing when we're looking at Romans chapter 1 and we're looking at starting at 18. This second part will be The Anatomy of Sin part 2. And then we'd subtitle it The Depths of Depravity. And I want us to think about that, The Depths of Depravity. And so before we begin, let's stand to our feet and reverence God's Word. Romans chapter 1, we'll be looking from 24 to 32. 24 to 32. And so let's read God's Word. It says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in them the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, strife, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, may the love and grace of God be seen in this scripture today. May God's word go forth. Hide me behind the cross for your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. As we were going back, we need to go back up. As we were looking at 18 through, we actually did 18 through 25, and we'll pick back up on 24 again, 24 and 25, but as we're looking back at that, I want us to think about what we learned at the first part. If you remember, I asked the question, how have we gotten where we're at? Remember, I said, how has our nation got where it is, and how has our society, how has our culture gotten to where it is in the place that we are? And so that was a question, and so we remember, if you talked about it, it says that they rejected this God, that they suppressed the truth of God. Remember that from the first sermon. They suppress the truth of God. In other words, they hold it down. They hold the truth down. And so because they hold the truth down, it says that these things happen, this sequence of events happened. And it talked about that men willfully rejected God because he said he revealed himself. And then they made their own code to live by and thought up their own concept of God. And then they made substitute to God for God, idols. And now we'll see this week, because of the hardened heart, and from God's law, they became immoral. And so the idea of this truth that suppressed led to futile thinking. In other words, not unwise thinking. And then it led to idolatry, which leads to all kinds of perversion that we'll see. And God is going to show us, and I want you to know that this scripture, when he's writing to the Romans, if you remember when we began, it was a church that was full of Gentiles and Jews. And so the Gentiles were taking a lot of credit to their liberty, and the Jews were taking a lot of credit to the law, and so it's this conflict at all times. And so he's really focusing on the Gentiles right now in this part. He'll look and pick up the Jews in chapter 2, and he's showing that we don't, any of us, have a leg to stand on when it comes to being righteous before God. The world will tell you that man is inherently good. We're good. We're good at the core, when the scripture tells us the completely opposite. It tells us that we're rotten to the core, that we're totally depraved, and that we're in such need of a Savior. And so I want us to think about that as we look and get into it. All men are guilty before God. All. Everybody's guilty and stands guilty before God. And so God gave them up. You'll see that in these scriptures. God gave them up. God gave them up. And so this idea of that he turned them over to their own desires, their own lust, and we'll see that played out. And so I want us to think about, as we look at the results of sin, we're not evolving, by the way. We're spiraling downward. We're not. Yeah, oh, we think that we're growing so much in our knowledge, but we see that that was futile thinking that we're growing in. When we suppress the truth, we hold the truth of God down, we see that it doesn't go upward, but that the wisdom actually is going downward. And it's played out in immorality and perversion, and we'll see that this week. And so I want us to think about the depths of depravity this week as we go in Anatomy of Sin Part 2. And so I want us to think about three areas that man is affected because of this depravity. And first, it's sensual depravity. Look at verses 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." So we see that God gives them up to what? Immorality, and it would be sexual perversion. Okay, stick with me on this. It says, "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves." When we're talking about sexual perversion, I want you to know that is rampant in our culture today. Everybody can acknowledge that, okay? I want you to know that it's rampant in our churches today, okay? I want you to know as I preach this, and I preach this with grace because your pastor is guilty of some of these things in his past that had to be forgiven of, all right? So we're all here. I want us to realize we're all under grace. But I want you to know that sexual perversion is the first thing when truth is suppressed and man becomes futile in his thinking that it's played out in this area more than anything. And he's actually dealing with, we'll see the sexual inversion next, but he's dealing with how we are now in our culture. Think about how we are in our thinking that, if the truth be known, the church accepts premarital sex. You say, well, everybody says it's bad, but everybody just accepts it like it's something that's going to happen. When I want you to know this morning that sex outside of marriage is wrong in any form. We don't have any problem picking up rocks and throwing them at a certain area, but what about where we stand and how we act? It's wrong outside of marriage. God made it good. Okay, but we take it and we pervert it. Why? Because we know that we suppress the truth. We don't live under that divine umbrella of God's truth the way that God says to do it, how he said this is the way it's supposed to be. We become futile. We make idols. We do what we do because we think it's best. And we'll do it under the umbrella of love. You notice that? Oh, it's okay as long as you love. It's a funny thing that we fall in and out of love like flipping on a light switch now. Do you understand that? You understand that that's how people deal with those things now? They just flip a light switch and say, well, I love them. Well, I'm not in love with them now. Just so that we can fall under these things and we can make up our own gods. And so I want you to know the consequences of rejection of light that God gives them over to what they want. Man abandons God, so God abandons men. He leaves them to themselves. They make their own rules. I want you to think about our nation and where we are as a nation. The sexual liberation of the 60s and 70s is being played out today in the 90s and the 2000s, okay? When we embrace that love all and the hippie era and all those things, and we're going to see that downward spiral, and we see it in verses 24 and 25 here where he talks about the perversion that we've made it. Do you know that 1 out of 8 young people have sexually transmitted diseases today? Why? Because they've bought in that what we say is okay. And God says it's not. So I want us to understand first, he says, he made sex between a man and a woman in marriage at the very beginning. He made it good in what we've done with the good things of God, and here we are. And I want you to know where you stand on this morning. Stand on what the Word of God says, not our feelings, not how we think about it, but what does the Word of God say? And he says we've corrupted it. We live in that day. It's hardly thought about. And what is its root? Rejection of God. We saw that up in verses 1, 18 through 20. Rejection of God. And he says in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. I want you to know, who is the father of all lies? Satan. John 8:44 says that Satan is the father of lies. So what man done when God didn't fit in the way he'd thinking, he gets ready. Man turned from God to Satan. Why? He's the father of all lies. And so they believe the lie that they make up. And so that as we start out, I want us to think about the perversions that come from rejection of the truth in this downward spiral. And we see to begin with, it's this looseness in what we believe is all right sexually, sexual perversion. We see it all in our movies. We see it all in our entertainment. We'll think about that. We'll come back to that at the end. And we see how, you know what we've been? We become callous to it if we're not careful. And we accept the things of the world rather than the things of God. Because next is sexual inversion. Look at verses 26 through 27. And here again, so we hear at verse 24, for this reason God gave them up. And then we hear it again, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. So it didn't just stop there, but it says, for even the, and that word in Greek means female. So let me read it like it says in the Greek and for the men. It says, for even their females exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burn in their lust for one another. Male with male, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. And so I want you to see, God gives them up to unnatural practices also. You say, why does Paul pick the sensual? Why does he pick that for this picture of his suppression of the truth and his downward thing? Because it's in this sensual area that our sin is played out the most. It's where it reveals our very heart and what we believe about the things of God and what we believe about the things of ourselves. And so he goes on, he says, and he picks this area, and because there's no better place, and he says, here he shows that even the women, what a statement. Even the women. Why would he make such a statement? Do you know that the women are the last ones to go in society? Why? Because they got a little more sense than men do when it comes to certain moral issues, okay? It says it right here, for even the women. And so I want you to know he's saying that even when you see women, the female, when they start turning and going to immorality, that means your society is on the bottom. Hello? Do you realize that lesbianism is on the rise? That it says that 16% of all women said they have had a sexual relationship with another woman in America. Even the women, Paul says, even the women, what do? They exchange what is natural. And this is where I get the word inversion from. Because it says, it goes on to say, likewise the men leave a natural use of the natural use. Look how many times he says natural. He says, even the women exchange natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of women, burning their own lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. But so I want you to know the inversion that I'm talking about instead of perversion is that it's an inversion of the created order. God, at the very beginning, made them male and female. And so when you go back and you invert the unnaturalness of what God made, it's an inversion, even past perversion. It's an inversion of what God made. And it's so obviously unnatural. We see that in the Scripture. I want you to know today that they're trying to make it so natural. Again, not throwing rocks at one particular group. Why? Because we're all guilty before God. But I want you to see the agenda that is coming out today. It's grace that needs to be applied to this so desperately. And I want you to know that if you struggle with that, I love you. And God loves you. But I want you also to know that don't buy into what the world says. This is the reasoning we see right here in Scripture today. It's just as plain and evident as we can see it. An inversion of the created order. In the beginning, God made male and female. All sin is just as bad and evil, but they are naturally bad and evil. This is why Paul chooses this area of homosexuality. It's not just a genetic problem. It's a sin problem. It comes from rejecting God. It's not a sickness. It's a sin. Some sickness can be cannot be recovered from, but sin can be recovered from with grace every time. Every time. Listen. They say we're born that way. We all are. We're born in sin. We're all born in sin. It's our choices and how we choose in that sin. That's how it's manifested in our life. And so I want you to know that Paul, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he was talking about, do you not know that, and he lifts off drunkards, he lifts off all these things, that extortioners, homosexuals, sodomites will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he says. He says, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's practicing. Okay? Fornicators. He puts all these in there. And then, I love him. Then he says in 1:6-11, he says, as such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. We all need grace. And this, the idea and the way that we've become homophobe in our churches, listen, it's grace that needs to be applied to this. How dare us, how can any of us pick up rocks and sling them? It's the grace of God that needs to be applied to each situation. Paul's saying, listen, but we need to understand it for what it is today. I don't know where you stand. You might be a liberal agenda. You might stand on the liberal side. I want you to understand where your thinking comes from. It does not come from Bible. I'm not one of those people that said liberal or conservative. I think biblically, unbiblically, okay? You want to name it, whatever you want to name it. Biblically, unbiblically. And when you stand and you say, well, you know what? I don't know where I stand on that. I think, you know, this is a good thing, and our culture's saying this and that, and you know what? And they'll tie on your heartstrings, and they'll say, but, you know, you're supposed to respect all people. They'll put it in like with all this thing that they throw together. Listen, biblical or unbiblical, you either stand on the Bible or you don't stand on the Bible. And the Bible's pretty evident on where we are to stand in grace, in love, in total commitment in Christ and reaching out, because he says, and such were some of you. I want you to know that Paul, he's writing this from Corinth, is what the most biblical people believe. And so he's surrounded by it. Listen, he's surrounded by the Greek culture, the Roman culture. Do you know that 14 out of the first 15 emperors were homosexuals? Nero being the worst. It was in these cultures, it was an accepted thing. Let me ask you, where's the Greek culture today? Where's the Roman culture today? It's a downward spiral, do you not? And it's like, and when I see this, I can hear Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. We fall by the same things, and it's the basics we don't understand, and we don't adhere by the Word of God, and it's a downward spiral. And we just get back and we scratch our head and don't know where we stand because we don't know the Word of God. And we don't know how to approach it. And so we wonder and say, well, what about these things? We've got to be biblical in our thinking. This is real and relevant for 2016. And here's the deal. It points to a deeper and more fundamental problem. And it runs on the inside. So when you see that, you see that in your culture today, and it's prevalent in our schools, everywhere that's touched, it's pointing to a deeper problem. It's a lack of knowing God. It's a lack of rejecting God. It's not understanding the truth and rejecting the truth. And this is where it leads. And this is the outcome. How did we get here? We see it right here in our scriptures. And God's calling us. I couldn't help as I was thinking about this in Hebrews chapter 2, and it's talking about Christ was made a little lower than the angels. We know that scripture where he's talking about man. So that means angels in the created order is just are a step above us as human beings. They're a step above because they're in the presence of God at all times. We get there, don't we? It's at the end, though. We're in his presence through the Holy Spirit, but being face to face with him. So angels said Christ was made a little lower than the angels when he came in his incarnation. And so below us would be the beasts, the animals. You say, why? And a lot of people think animals, they treat animals like they're better than humans, okay? Let's just be honest and see how they're treated and how our world kill the babies but save the animals. And the dogs and cats, man, don't kill them. That's terrible. Kill the babies. That doesn't matter because that's our choice. Listen, he said the animals are a little lower. Why? Because they have a body but they don't have a soul. So we're the median. man is the medium. We're in between. So we can either go higher, reach higher, or we can reach lower. And when we see this inversion, it's even going past the beast of the field. You say, why do you say that? Because even the barnyard knows better. Okay? Even the barnyard knows better. And so we go so low that we're even lower than the beast in our choices. And so he's saying, man, receiving in themselves, listen, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And you say, man, what's he saying there? Listen, the average lifespan of a natural man is 75 years old. Some of you have outlived that. Some of you are getting close. Some of us are on our way. Average lifespan of a natural man is 75. Average lifespan of a homosexual man is 45. 65% of them have herpes or hepatitis B. Not to mention the devastation of AIDS and where it's at. It's not even figured into that. So it's this idea of this unnatural lifestyle that leads in the due penalty. It comes with a cost. Sin always comes with a cost. And this revisionist theology that I'm amazed at today, where they people and denominations, and they'll stand and they'll say it's all right to have this lifestyle. It's okay because Christ is so forgiving and he's loving. And yes, that's true, but there's repentance involved in that, okay? And you can't find anywhere in the Scripture where it shines a light in a positive manner from the Bible, from the front to the back, on a homosexual lifestyle. It has nothing to do with that. And you got to get off your gooey feelings and what you think. And you say, well, I can't get over these feelings. Listen, I have a propensity. I was born to like women, okay? I was born that way. Let's just get real. Let's just be real. Can we be real this morning? I'm married to my best friend in the world. This is my wife that God brought to me. But I like women. I'm born to like women. So I can go out here. Does that mean because I'm born that way, I can go out here and sleep around on her? Can I do that? Listen, do you see the futile of the thinking? How in the world? There comes a time when we have to be under the standards of God. God said that's wrong, that I'm only supposed to have this relationship with her, nobody else. And we live under that. We all live under the standard of God. And so I want us to keep that in mind as we flesh all these things out, because next it's not only this sensual a depravity, but it's a mental depravity. See, we can be feeling pretty good, okay? You might be feeling pretty good. So I'm not struggling. Then I feel pretty good. You're not going to feel really good after this group, okay? We find ourselves, seriously, we find ourselves, listen what it says, verses 28 to 31. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here it is again, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. So we see not only is the depravity, this downward spiral in sensual, but it's in the mental. God says he gives them over to what? To a debased mind. He gave them over to a rejected, a reprobate mind. In other words, they think that the things that they're doing and the reason they do it is right. They reject the truth, and so the truth, the untruth, becomes truth to them. Is that making any sense? They think that, hey, what you're doing, what they do, and what they choose to do, they reject God, that's what the truth is. We live in a day that it's relevant. Truth is relevant. Lee, if you want to believe something, that's fine for you. I don't believe that way, but hey, we're both right. How does that work? Truth is truth. God's word. Thy word is truth, is what it says. Look, how can a man, young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. John 17, listen. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. You're searching for truth today? Listen, don't listen to the lies and say, oh, it's full of lies. It's no good. Why have they not disproved it then? You've heard me say that. In our vast knowledge and all our computers and everything, do you not think they wouldn't have disproved this if they could? They can't. It's the truth of God's word. Thy word is truth. You're looking for truth right here. It is. Live by it. Live by its standards. You want to know where you stand? Well, I just don't know where I stand. Where do you stand biblically? You're either biblical or unbiblical. And Paul's letting them know we have this mental depravity. And then we see it's affected. You know, if we're feeling pretty good about the other, that right here we see our heritage. And he's talking to Gentiles. That's us, by the way. Art's not here today. He's the only Jew I know that's here in our congregation. But we're all Gentiles, pig-eating Gentiles. Man, we eat bacon today, right? Praise the Lord. I said it's a good day when you come in, you smell bacon on the way in early in the morning, right? But we're pig-eating Gentiles. So he's talking to our heritage, our background. This is where we all come from. And this is where we're seeing manifested itself more and more today. But this mental sins, this mental depravity, it leads to spiritual depravity also. Paul's saying that what's heathen of the what's true of the heathen is true of all generations. Again, nothing new under the sun. Why is it that we make the same mistakes over and over and over again? Because we see that sinful nature that's so prevalent. That good thing that everybody says, man, so good. No, he's rotten. He's depraved. He needs God and he needs a Savior. And it's not good. And he goes on, and men always have shown herself to be sinners and unrighteous, ungodly. He lists off 23 sins that were common in his day and they're common in ours. If you think about those things, unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. Man, we live in a world. You want to talk about covetousness? All we do is want to try to keep up with one another. We think that we got to have everything. If we don't have it, then we just don't fit in with everybody. That's why we're in debt up to here, credit cards. We live on credit all the time because we think that it's an entitlement mentality. We deserve it. We deserve it. We're teaching our kids that, by the way, too. That's the reason why we see such a struggle. And being disobedient parents, how many of us was disobedient to our parents? Come on. And you see it today. You see it's running rampant. Why? It's part of this whole mentality of this downward spiral of man. And without God, it'll never be turned around. And he goes on and he lists full of envy. How many of it envy? Murder, strife. He said, well, I don't murder. Jesus said, you know what? When you look on your brother with hatred, you murder. Did he not say that? Strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And here we go. They're whisperers. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about that? Let's pray. Well, I want you to bring this up as a prayer case. So-and-so, 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 so-and-so. Yeah, that's right. It's called gossip. It's a sin before God. See, we're feeling pretty good. Well, now, gossipers, I mean, look, backbiters. How many of us talk about each other behind our back? Backbiters. Haters of God, violent, proud. So I don't have any problem with proud. I'm humble and proud of it. Pride that to the core, if you really, we all deal. We say that we don't, but we all deal with pride at the core of every issue. A lot of our choices, a lot of things that we do is because of pride. And he says, boasters. Boasters, inventors of evil things. And then he throws that in there, disobedient to parents. You say, wow. But you see this whole mindset. You think, oh, that's just Junior. Junior's just acting out what Junior's supposed to do. Look, Junior's just a little sinner, okay? He was born into sin just like we are. And if we don't break the bents of sin, they'll grow up to be big sinners. Hello? Does anybody hear me this morning? Now, I know we don't live it. We live in a world now that you take, I don't know about you, but this thing right here, I got to know it really good when I was young. Did you? It wasn't child abuse. In fact, if the truth be known, I needed a few more of them, okay? And everybody can say amen to that. I know Sandy can. But listen, it's not beating your child. It's not. In fact, it says, spare the rod, and everybody says, spoil the child. That's not what the Scripture says. It says, spare the rod. Hateth the child. When we don't punish, when we don't discipline, we hate them because they become men and women one day, and when they've been allowed to have every vice they want, when they're entitled to what they think everything is, and you don't teach them to serve, they become consumers. Man, and they consume, and it's all about them. And who's the fault? We are. We are. And so he says, disobedient to parents. And so we see this untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. How unforgiving are you? Well, I forgive them, but I'm just not going to have anything else to do with them. Show me that, please, scripture and verse. Oh, I love them. I just don't like them. Scripture and verse. You see what I'm saying? How forgiving, how unmerciful are we when God has shown us the tremendous mercy of Christ in our life, and yet we're so slow to show mercy to others when they hurt our feelings or they make us look bad or whatever it is, yada, yada, yada. And we buy in and we see that we become more like the world instead of more like what Christ said we're to look like. Do you know that in the past decade, violent crime is up 40%. Violent crime, 40%. Crimes against property, 61%. While the population's only grown 10%, by the way, in the last decade, there is a rape every 26 minutes, a robbery every 5 minutes, aggravated assault every 28 minutes. There's a car stolen every minute of the day. Do you see? Hey, you turn on the news, what's most of us say? I don't even watch it. It's depressing. Right? Who got shot in Charlotte today? Right? I mean, seriously. It's a downward spiral. That becomes our news. Why? Because we're just spiraling down because we see these things that are evident in mental depravity in our culture, and if we're not careful, in us. We are surrounded by a world that's rejecting God, and if we're not careful, we will look more and act more like the world than we will the church and the things of God. Because I want you to see, lastly, is ultimate depravity. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such thing are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You say, well, ultimate depravity is when there's an agenda. Do you realize, I hope you realize that there's an agenda out there today in the news and everything you watch, every sitcom, all these things, there's an agenda that they're trying to push. If you think about the things that we see that's pushed upon us, and we'll talk about this, Paul frames the picture of depravity with the depths of sin. Man reaches the lowest reaches of depravity by standing by and approving others' sins. He urges them and claps them on. Approves the sins of others. You know why? Because misery loves company. Birds of a feather flock together, all these things. And so they applaud, they set up agendas so that you can live within this sin, and they applaud you for it. Good job. He said that's the lowest form of depravity. And please don't miss what he says, knowing the judgment of God. What is those little words there? Knowing the judgment of God. You remember where in chapter 1:20, where it says that we had creation, that man's without excuse. He could go outside, he could see all that God created. There's another C word here. It's called consciousness. Man has creation. Man is born with a conscience. Each and every one of us. I had a friend of mine one time that said, I said, my conscience is bothering me about certain situations. He said, if you'll ignore that thing, it'll quit bothering you. I'm afraid that's what we've done. We ignore our conscience. And he says, knowing the judgment of God, and that means the people that are committing these sins, knowing their conscience, that little still small voice that says, we're doing something wrong. And they reject that. And they eventually will be judged by a righteous God. What they said, we didn't know. God says, yes, you did. You had creation and you had a consciousness for me to draw you to me. And you rejected it. Willfully rejected it. And that's that continuous spiral. And then he makes this statement, those who practice such things are deserving of death. He said, "Ooh, that's strong." What's he saying, that if they practice those things, we'll just take them out and kill them? No, that's not what he's saying. We know that our scripture today, what did it say? The wages of sin is death. Well, that ain't our scripture. For all have sinned and fall short of God. But I'm thinking Romans 6:23, which is part of the Romans Road. It says, for all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. Look. For the wages of sin is death. What does a wage do? You know, everybody that works here, at the end of that week, or if you get paid once a month or every 2 weeks, whatever, you expect to get a check for what you did, don't you? And if you don't, you probably get pretty upset, don't you? You can see some of these things come out. The wages of sin is what? Death. He's saying those who practice such things are deserving of death. And if you continue in that lifestyle, that's exactly what they'll get. Because one day we stand accountable before a holy God and we will be judged by how we live by this truth. And when we rejected it and we turn from Him, we will face eternal death in a place called hell that God prepared for Satan and his angels. But you'll be right there with Him if you reject this truth and you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior. And you don't know where you stand, and you scratch your head right on in eternity of being years in hell in torment, you'll still be scratching your head saying, I didn't know where I stood. That's sad. That's sad. When right here we see God's Word as plain as day. How did we get here? How is it that we've got there? And we see that downward spiral of depravity in our life. As I was studying this out, I thought about, you know, right down in downtown Rome right now, there's an old building that part of it's still standing. It's called the Colosseum. Now, I want you to think about the Colosseum. What? We all know the stories, right? Russell Crowe, we watch, right? The Spaniard. The Colosseum was about gladiators, wasn't it? A lot of them captured people. They fought to the death. There were many Christians martyred, killed by lions, all kinds of things in that Colosseum. People would flock into it by the thousands to watch that. You know what you say? And we say, oh, that's so terrible. How would we ever do that? What is your entertainment today, my friend? What do you watch? What is your entertainment? What do you laugh at? Time and time again, our movies that we think are so good is the image of God being destroyed constantly. And you know what we become? We become callous. Our kids are killing something all the time. I'm serious. And we become callous to that. You see that all these things are going on because Satan knows, listen, Satan knows that this applauding and encouraging sin, Satan knows that what we laugh at and applaud, we will eventually embrace. Listen to this. Read that. Satan knows that what we laugh at and applaud, we will eventually embrace. There was a day where certain lifestyles were laughed at, wasn't it? Made fun of. Where are we at today? Your media has an agenda. The agenda is for you to embrace what they think is right. It doesn't have anything to do with what this Word says. And we're raising generation after generation to become more and more lax, more and more tolerant. Tolerant is not a good word today. Why? Because it means anything goes in this downward spiral. Let me shock you for just a minute. There's a woman at Harper University right now that's writing paper, book after book, and you know what she's saying? Pedophile is not a sin. Listen. Please listen closely. Because there's many of you sitting here today that you grew up for the last few years when you remember that lesbianism and homosexuality was looked upon and thought, wow, that could never happen. And where are you today? Listen, this downward spiral, you say, oh, that could never happen. It happened in all the other Rome, Greek. It keeps going down and down and down. Here's the deal. In your thinking, if you think, I'm born that way, what's the difference in a pedophile if he's born that way to have a propensity to children? Huh? You see it? It's logically played out that way. And if you think it's not going to happen, you're fooling yourself. If we don't close the door and set some parameters, there's no parameters set. And we just keep going lower and lower and lower and lower. And the walls and the spiritualness is lowered. What can happen? Just wait and see. If we keep silent, if we keep not knowing where we stand on things, if we keep scratching our head and we don't embrace the thing of it, because who's to blame? You're looking at it. The church is to blame. Because God has called us to be the light. I want to encourage you this morning too, because this is tough. This is tough scripture. It can be very difficult. But let me encourage you this morning. When it gets the darkest is when the light shines the brightest, okay? when it starts getting really dark, man, you can take a little old pen light, and it really lights up the whole thing. If that's all you've got, a pen light, please shine it, okay? We need to start shining in our society. We need to make people see that we live. We live by the truth of God through the love of God, not condemning, not throwing rocks, but through the love of Christ, reaching out to a society and saying, let me show you what the truth says. Let me live out the truth. They don't want to hear what it says if you're not living it. America is becoming the society that Paul is addressing. But I want you to know something. Where sins abound, grace much, so much more abounds. Okay? God, Christ can change our country. You know what? He's just waiting for you to stop living your apathetic life and start being all in and on fire for Him. Who is to blame? We can't point our fingers at anybody, only ourselves. We love our apathy. We love just to take it easy. Look, oh yeah, oh yeah, I come to church on Sunday morning, I'm good for the rest of the week. I can go out here and live any old way I want to. Why? I got my fire insurance. That's where we live in the church. And we don't make a difference or penetrate our culture or look any different from the culture. And this bunch is coming up now, sick and tired of it. They don't want anything that's not real. You can say one thing and live another, and that you forget it. It cancels out everything that you've said. God can shine a light with you, but you're going to have to accept what He's telling you. And you're going to have to realize that you've got a commission, that you're a part of this, and that we have to shine. And you need to know where you stand. If you don't know where you stand on issues, get in here and find out. Find out. You got a vote coming up. I don't want to hear this. Well, I don't have anybody to vote for, so I'm not going to vote for anybody. You might as well go ahead and push that agenda right in. You just voted for the other side. That's opposite to this word. I don't want to hear that. You get in there and you pray it out and you figure out who you're going to vote for, because that's what God don't want a bunch of people to get, put their thumb in their mouth and say, I don't have nobody to vote for. And why the world goes to hell in a handbasket, because I promise you, this group that wants to stand all this is going to vote. They're going to get out. Because there's agenda here. We see it in the Scripture. They want to applaud everything that's going on. When are we going to raise up and applaud what Jesus is doing? When are we going to be the ones that represent the holy God in an unholy world? When are we going to stop living by the standards of God's Word? Then to come play, we'll have some applications and we'll be done. Listen, I tell you what. Not an easy scripture. I want you to know I love you this morning. I got hit by all this. I got hit and realized, you know what? We're all deserving of death. But by the grace of God, He came and He saved me. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and He placed my feet on the rock. And if He can save me out of the garbage of my background, He can save anybody. But we have to turn to the truth. First question. When was the last time you repented of anything? We're so smug. Man, we think that we don't need to repent of nothing. If that's the truth, then why are we where we're at in our community and in our world if we don't need to repent? We need to accept the challenge God gives us and say, Lord, forgive us. We're not living like we should and representing the light. Do you? And here's the next one. Do you realize that you've been commissioned to share the gospel? You go out, represent Christ, share the gospel with your life everywhere that you are, every day, 24/7, 365. Not just come in Sunday morning and say, I love Jesus. Every day. Lastly, how's your walk with the Lord? Are you one of those people that, I really don't know where I stand on these things, but today I see that through God's Word that it's pretty plain and evident. And maybe it's the first time you've ever heard anything like that. It's God's Word. Maybe that it might be the day that you realize, you know what, I don't have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't have this life. In fact, I line up more with what the world says than myself. I want you to know, if you're living a lifestyle that's contrary to God right now, you stand condemned before Him. But there's forgiveness at the throne of grace. Let's all stand to our feet. Brittany's going to sing a song for us. Just as I am. Boy, that's a great scripture. I want you to know today that if you don't have Christ as your Savior today, don't let the devil tell you I need to quit doing theft or get something straight in your life. But come and say, Lord, I want you today. I want to know this relationship with a living Savior through Christ my Lord. Maybe you realize, you know what, I'm just not living like I should. I'm not repented of nothing in a long time. I've got my salvation. I just felt like that was enough when I just really don't live like the life that God's called me to live. Whatever He's saying to you. How's your walk with the Lord? Come forward when she begins singing right now. Well, people are around the altar. How about you? Don't put it off. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, give that to Him. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing wrong with walking the aisle saying, Lord, here I am. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? Do you realize that maybe you're lining up with the things that are not biblical? You just need to know today that you have that relationship with Christ. Come forward. Not going to tarry long. One more verse.
I would like to give David a hand for preach God's word out of the God's word. Give the Lord a hand.
Thank you. Listen, those are not easy things, and when I say those things, it's not with a heart of saying, yeah. It's with a heart of that says, man, a lot of people that struggle with these things, okay, that struggle with these feelings and all that, and how do I overcome those things? I promise you, Christ, you can overcome anything. I stand as one that stands before you that's seen Christ changing completely. And so I want you to know today that it's nothing of condemning way or throwing rocks. It's just the Word of God and the truth, and wherever it hits you, that's how you have to receive it. And you have to ask God, what is it that He wants me to do with it? So I love each and every one of you. Coming forward with something very foreign to you, and you'd like to talk more after service, I'm here, and I'd love to talk with you. And don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll have our brotherhood and our women's meeting, and a lot of great things going on. But I want you to know that I love you. Listen, it's time for the church to get off the seat and start living, okay? Taking responsibility for our world, not pointing at what we think is going wrong. And we see in the Scripture, it's just